Hello, everyone. So, I'm going to tell you these final stories from my past in general. So, I remember these, and this is off the top of my head, by the way. I remember all of these misogynistically sexual jousting matches that many men tried to have with me, because word on the street was that Antonio is a good-natured playboy. The women were saying it more than the men. Some men were so prone to jealousy that they allowed the jealousy to overtake them. So they approached me and said, I can get laid by more women than you. I didn't have the insightfulness to decline such chauvinism. But because of the trained misconduct of sexism, I unintentionally volunteered myself to be a part of a onslaught of women and onslaught of healthy masculinity coalition that I ended up saying yes to their dehumanization contest. And don't get me wrong, I never saw women as just sexual vehicles. What happened to me in this petty competition? I was just having more sex than I already had, and I didn't even have to try. I just spent more time with women. More than I usually did. Besides, the women heard about the promiscuity women contest that these men were having with me. And I didn't want to do it, but growing up the way I did, toxic masculinity battles of butting heads was a daily routine. It's hygiene gone bad. So the women heard about it, and I told them what happened, and they decided, let's just have more sex than we normally do. And new women, ones I didn't sleep with, heard about it, said, all right, you're going to have sex with us too. So I wasn't actively looking for women to have sex with. No. The women nearby heard about it, and they interjected and said, okay, we're going to make it easy for Antonio. So one guy said, I had about 5 women when we saw each other again. And the women screamed 50 when it came to, okay, how many did I sleep with? So it was a lot of the same women and a lot of the new women. The ones I was already sleeping with, the ones I didn't. Both kept increasing in sex, having when it came to me. And I remember the guy walked away crying tears of depression. We never saw him again. Because everybody except me was pointing and laughing at him, and the women were pointing, laughing at him the most. So there were other men who would say, "Well, Antonio, I got 10. One said 20, other said 30. I said 100 or 140 or, you know, 120. I didn't say these things. The women were saying these things. "Oh, this is the number he was with this couple of months or this month," or, you know, they would, in every week, "Yeah, Antonio was with 15, da 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 da. Or Antonio's with 30, da 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 da." And guys, after a while, stopped trying to compete with me when it came to the promiscuity women competition. I share these things because these things actually happen in our world, and it's not really talked about. Sometimes people in the streets, it's called lying on your dick. I've heard street people say that. I've heard street people even say, "Niggas be lying on a dick." I've heard that saying in the hood. That was a part of my upbringing. I heard that often. And there's a lot of truth to many males do lie about sex when it comes to women. It happens in high school, it happens in college, it happens in trade school. It happens on in the workplace. It happens in training academy programs. It happens in internships and volunteer roles. And it happens in elementary school and middle school and junior high school. I've heard women say in the hood, in the streets, and I've heard this quite often, they said, "Bitches be lying on they pussies." I've heard that too. And there were many females lying about the sex they had with males. It happens in schools. It happens on the job. It happens in the midst of certification. Yeah. It happened, you know, people lying about sex happens in homes too. It happens in neighborhoods. It happens in communities. So this happened quite often, how I was raised. And it's hard to put raised and misandry and misogyny combined. I am heart aching because of it. So there were men who basically were in their mind, they were trying to emasculate me. And the term emasculation, it horrifies me because it usually means homophobia, biphobia, transphobia, lesbophobia, queerphobia, femphobia, gayphobia, discrimination against gay men, discrimination against gay women, discrimination against non-binary people, trans misogyny, cis normativity, cis sexism, heteronormativity, heterosexism, and sexual normativity. And it promotes the degradation that the trans radical exclusionary feminist turf promotes. So that's a part of my upbringing that I despise. I'm thankful I no longer do such gory. There's no gory glory. There's no gory and glory. And after a while, men stopped because these are their exact words. Don't challenge Tonio or he'll embarrass your ass when it comes to being a chick magnet and being a sex magnet, as they call me. So I remember being in such a world where they even tried, the men tried to have muscle. You know, who's the most buff competitions. And I was never the most buff person. But because I was seen as sexy by women more than them, I won, even though I wasn't a buff-looking person. You know, that gym trainer look. I never possessed that. But because of my attractability, potency to women, I ended up winning those competitions all the time. Because it didn't matter if who had the most muscles, if it mattered who's attracting the most women, that would be me. So I won buff competitions even though I did not have a toned appearance about myself. And who was the tallest? Of course there were guys taller than me. Of course there were guys more muscular than me. But again, when you're attracting the most women, you win those competitions anyway. It's not about how we see each other. It's about, okay, how do women see us? So in terms of height and in terms of the buff, because women usually went to me and ignored them, I ended up winning those competitions without even trying. And I remember they would have the whole, who is the physically strongest? I won those because I was one of those, I'm a lot stronger than I look types. I didn't fight them. It's just the stories that people tell about me. Well, Tony actually protects women. Y'all don't. That's how I ended up winning the competition. Without even trying. And then they had the whole, who had the deepest voice? Well, I've done voice acting for years, so I would win all the time. All these competitions these toxic men, masculinity men would have with me, I always won. Without even trying. So after a while, men would stop trying to challenge me, and they ended up challenging their own sense of masculinity, their own sense of maleness, their own sense of manhood. Because amongst, you have some women who will brag about how many dudes they slept with. You have some men who brag about how many ladies they slept with. Sometimes they're facts, and other times they're falsehoods. I'm just healing. I'm healing that part of my life. Podcasting helps me to journal out loud. Helps me to purge myself from the past. And what I also was able to learn from everything was that seeing the women also had their own competitions. Who was the most curvaceous? Who had the biggest breasts, the biggest butts, the biggest hips, the biggest waist? Who fit the waist hip ratio the most? Who had the wettest, tight, moist vaginas? Who could twerk the best? And I remember the men would have, who had the biggest penis? Who had the best sexual prowess, who could provide the most orgasms. This was my upbringing as a child, being 5 years old. And nobody won, because everybody lost to the decimation of self, each other, and others. This is the best way for me to close. Physical appearance is insulted by a hard heart. You make yourself physically ugly by making yourself internally ugly. So make sure that your physical appearance is complemented by your soft heart. You make yourself physically beautiful by being internally beautiful. Be more concerned about the appearance of your heart than the exterior of your body. Your name, your legacy, your character is what will be remembered most about you. Not the whole, well, my looks are societally approved of. Impact, influence, and impartation, the triple I's, is what people will talk about the most, especially after you die. They're not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about how your genetics brought your figure into being.